Coming up on show 976, yep, a lot of news to get through today. We have refreshed cars from Tesla and also their earnings call at the end of 2020. We're talking about Cybertruck, Roadster, the energy business, solar storage, what the numbers were, but most importantly, the revised Model S and Model S cars. That's all coming up on the podcast today. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Wherever you're listening in the world, welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 28th of January. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. As I warned you yesterday, today is going to be a single subject podcast. I do this occasionally for big car launches and big bits of news. So if you aren't bothered about Tesla, probably skip forward to tomorrow's show for resuming normal service. But a lot to get through, and we'll pick through it, actually. Try and make sense of a few things. Try and get through the hype and try and look at this with a half-sensible bit of analysis as well. You know what? I'm going to do a change to how I normally do these four shows a year. Normally, we will play you clips from Elon Musk and senior management from the earnings call, and we will talk about... We'll do it in order, because they release the investor letter with pretty much everything they then talk about on the call a couple of hours later. But they so normally we talk about that, then we talk about the call, I play you clips, then we talk about anything that came up in it. But I was realizing as I was putting this show together, I've always done it in that order, simply because that's the chronological way that the news filters out through the day. But you know what? Let's flip it on it. That's kind of a lazy way of doing it. Doesn't make any sense. The big news is about new Model S, new Model X. Let's start there. A refreshed version of the S and the X is coming next month. Deliveries from February for at least some of the versions. The exterior, if you go to the website, I've opened the website in front of me right now as I record and as I talk to you. I'm going to make sure that as much I can, all these stats make sense and that I'm accurate as well. So I've got half an eye on this and half an eye on my notepad that I wrote down all these things listening to the earnings call and after reading the letter. The exterior, it's the same. Look, it's the same car that's about to celebrate its 10th birthday. All right, the front has had more revisions than anywhere else on the car. And the front, once again, has had a revision. Revision down low beneath the Tesla T at the front of the bonnet. That whole area has been opened up for better cooling. They've also reworked the side lights that sit in front of the two front wheels on the front of the bumper that resembles the design language of the family, even though they've said in the past that Tesla doesn't have a design language. They design each car individually. That's nonsense. There are obviously things that run through the cars, and this is one of them as well. Headlights stay the same on these cars, and I know some of my friends that own Teslas say it's a particular weakness compared to some of the really intelligent matrix headlights of some more luxurious cars. I've had a brand new iPace recently from Onto, the subscription service, and the headlights on that are fabulous. I didn't touch a thing, and yet really accurately, were as I was turning the wheel, would light up and would go out when there was no cars coming towards me, would go into full beam and light up. And the minute a car came around the corner, they would dip back down. Very clever system. On the iPace, it works incredibly. You know, when you're turning the wheel, it lights up the road that you're moving into, and worked really well. And so nothing like that on this. And so same headlights once again. The exterior is basically the same. Chrome delete, whatever we call chrome delete. The trim is now all black. So the door handles are black and all of the bits that were chrome are now black. There is no more performance cars. There used to be long range and performance. Those are the two for the S and the X that you could spec. There is still long range. Performance is dead. There is now Plaid or Plaid Plus. Tesla notes that the Model S Plaid, it is very different to the performance car. In order to earn its Plaid name, it's got a whole new powertrain, new battery modules, not new cells. They're still the 18650 cells made in Japan by Panasonic, shipped to the US and then put into these cars. And so new battery modules, new battery packs, new drive units, better thermal management for repeated performance. Now, the likes of you and I don't go to drag strips, so I don't know when you would want repeated performance, but they have faded in the past, and that's one thing that Porsche with the Taycan really smacked Tesla down on, to say, well, it's nice you got a party trick, but now repeat it. And it couldn't, because it would overheat. That's now fixed, much like the Model 3 with its track mode. Completely revamped interior is totally different, and I must say, it's the thing that In the past, even when the Model S was new, I thought the interior sucked. What's interesting, they haven't really changed the exterior, and this car looks sharp, looks amazing. And that's a testament to the original design 10 years ago. It still looks really, really cool. I can't find an angle on this car, at least on the Model S, that doesn't look, I think, in 2021, still utterly amazing. Let's go inside. Completely revamped interior. The new touchscreen that we've been talking about for a long time is a 17-inch landscape screen. In other words, it's turned sideways like your computer monitor would be, like the 3 and the Y. Makes a lot of sense because that's what they're putting in their other cars, their big sellers, the 3 and the Y, and that's what they're designing software for. So these screens are bigger, but they're still designing the software to be in that layout. And of course, you had the S and the X software. The interface was tall, and then it was wide in the newer cars. And this just simplifies for their designers, for their software engineers. It simplifies things. The landscape screen, the rear. Inside, I should mention, on the exterior, the rear tail lights are slightly changed, but not too much. Inside, the rear passengers now get a central screen on the back of the driver armrest, if you like. So where the USB sockets are, where the air vents often are for the rear passengers, in between the two seats, in other words, where your shins would be, that area is now a screen, which I've seen people online saying, oh, well, when all the Teslas are robo-taxis by the end of the year, like Elon Musk promises, that'll be for the people that these driverless cars are ferrying around, which is absolutely bonkers nonsense because the cars won't be doing that. And also I've seen people saying, well, the steering wheel is so much different. That's because they're going to take it away and the new Teslas are going to have no steering wheel. They'll drive themselves, which won't happen. Let's talk a bit about the driver display, which has stayed. And it's a way of distinguishing these premium cars, the S and the X, from the 3 and the Y. It has got that driver binnacle in front of you, which, look, personally, I like. It's, you know, everything is subjective, isn't it? I know people who adore the single screen. I like that little, for my eyes go down more. But, you know, when I drive a 3, I do get used to it very, very, very quickly. Now, so what's left in the range? Well, it starts with a Model S long range, and it's got a range increase. So I don't think they've done too much work on this, but it's got a range bump. It now gets 412 miles. So it's now listed as 412 miles with $80,000 on the price of that. So 412 miles, 155 miles an hour top speed, 0 to 60, 3.1, 0 to 100 kilometers, 3.2. And the Model S long range is now your entry into the S range. Then, that's dual motor. Then the Plaid, a tri-motor. So both the Plaid and the Plaid Plus have got three motors. Two on the rear, one on the front, can do torque vectoring. In other words, if one of the rear wheels is moving a slightly different rotational speed, either due to the surface or cornering, the software can change the dynamics of the car and make it just more control over it. So two motors on the rear, so a tri-motor setup. Now, let's talk about the Plaid. It's $120,000, so we are in super expensive territory here. The Plaid version is shipping next month. So this has been the work they've been doing in the background, these engineering changes they've made. The cars roll out of Fremont when the lines restart next month. 0 to 60, 1.99 seconds. Amazing. 1,020 horsepower, three motors, torque vectoring, 120k price, and the existing battery pack technology. They're doing this with the technology available today. The Plaid Plus doesn't arrive until the end of this year, which, you know, could well ship in, you know, the beginning of 2022 if things slip. But the Plaid Plus has the quickest 0 to 60 time of any production car ever made. They're just saying that it's going to be quicker than the Plaid. So they're saying less than 1.9 seconds. I mean, 0 to 60 in less than 1.9 seconds is roller coaster territory. It is strap yourself in, you're going to get a gut punch. Borderline uncomfortable. Quarter mile in less than 9 seconds. 1,100 horsepower. Three motors, like I say, torque vectoring. But the Plaid Plus has all this performance for 520 miles. So I assumed it's because they're going to use the new Tesla cells, the 4680 cells, which are being developed by Tesla themselves in Fremont, and they're going to build these cell production facilities around the world, all their gigafactories. And I was then told today, no, they're doing it with the 18650 cells because, although it's a form factor, that just that number refers to a form factor, not the chemistry inside, which has greatly improved over the years. But I don't understand how you can get a 35% range improvement with current cell technology. So we know they recently signed a year and a half deal with Panasonic for a cell supply for those coming in from Japan, which I presume are the 18650s. And so I don't understand how for only 20 grand more, so a 17% price increase, you get 34% more range. That just seems unthinkable, even if you make small gains, incremental improvements with the current technology. So I am assuming that they are going to use the new Tesla self-developed cells called the 4680s. Again, it's only a form factor. We can call them tablets, we can call them 4680s, whatever you want to call them. They're made in Fremont on their pilot line, but they're a lot bigger. And it requires completely redesigning the car, which is not outside the realms of engineering. It absolutely can be done, but I want to, you know, make sure that I do understand that is a mega job. So, but we know the Model Y is going to be using these 4680 cells when they're coming out of Berlin, and yet the Model Y will look the same. So the Model Y is coming out of Fremont and China will look the same as the Berlin Model Y. Externally, to your eye, they will look the same, but underneath, entirely different. So it absolutely can be done that you can sell the Model S Plaid and the Model S Plaid Plus. They look the same, but underneath, totally redesigned. And that they've given themselves a year to do that, so it could well be. Let's talk about inside. It's got a new 22-speaker audio system with active noise cancelling. Not that EVs are loud anyway. It's got that 17-inch display, 12.5-inch driver display, 8-inch second row display. It's got a new gaming computer inside it. People were wowed about the specs, but didn't really appreciate it's new for the S and the X. And it's got 10 teraflops of processing power, which puts it in the league of the latest PlayStation 5, which in itself is incredible technology. You literally will be able to play the latest, greatest games in your car. If if the kids are hogging the big telly, you can just go out into the lounge and play the latest games. It opens up the possibilities for Tesla Arcade. A subscription service, possibly, like I subscribe to Apple Arcade, recurring revenue, which is, you know, the golden goose, because every month someone's paying you money, or millions of customers are. All companies would love recurring revenue. Tesla are really laying all those foundations for doing stuff like this. Wireless controller capability, so, you know, they've got that screen in the back as well, that big screen, and so I can imagine maybe it's got two wireless, we've got the kids in the back, give them wireless controllers, they can play some games. There's no HVAC, there's no vents, no air conditioning vents anymore, because they've implemented the invisible one single opening in the dashboard that they have in the 3 and the Y, but they've actually improved on it. They've called it airwave technology. It bounces air off the screen to create a sense with the passengers and the driver that the air is coming from somewhere to heat or cool. The heated seats for every passenger, heated steering wheel, heated windscreen, ventilated front seating. Isn't very specific, is it? It's simply called ventilated. Does that mean cooled? They did do ventilated seating for a while on Teslas and stopped it very quickly because it was terrible. And so maybe it's coming back. Maybe they've sorted that out and they'll do proper heated and cooled seats and properly cooling the seats. Again, like all premium and luxury cars do, and this is sitting in that territory. And what else? Tri-zone cabin conditioning, the screen in the rear, presumably, they didn't say this, but it's obvious the rear passengers will be able to select their own temperatures, ambient lighting, which is all great. The pictures you will have seen online right now are all about the steering wheel, and I've purposefully left it until now to address the steering wheel. For me, it's not a big deal. They've put a yoke steering wheel in all the pictures, and Tesla say, and I quote, "The ultimate focus on driving. No stalks, no shifting. With a stalkless steering yoke, enjoy both the best car to drive and the best car to be driven in." End quote. So yeah, it's chopped off along the top. It's got a very flat bottom. Looks like a Formula One steering wheel, but of course, a Formula One car has an entirely different steering rack than a production car, which normally does. Production cars will do between, what, 2.7 and 3.5 turns lock to lock. Can you imagine having to have a steering rack with a, so your hands are literally either side of, it's like a Knight Rider steering wheel, the yoke. So you can basically only go, if you hold your hands out in front of you right now, you can turn them 90 degrees. Because once you start having the top hand, as it were, then going over, you start to get all crossed up. So really, you're talking about 90 degrees one way, 90 degrees the other, and that would be lock to lock. You can do that with variable steering racks, and there's some clever technology out there, but can you imagine people at speed? This is a car that's 200 miles an hour top speed, and having to make an emergency manoeuvre. I don't know. Pictures have been found in the code of the Tesla website of pictures, renders of just the normal steering wheel. And that's absolutely what everybody will spec. You could spec the yoke in countries and areas that allow it, but most don't. So I don't think the US will allow it. I don't think the EU will allow it. We'll wait and see. But this is just a publicity tool. For me, forgive me, it's a publicity tool for Tesla. It won't be in the car. It's like concept cars at motor shows. Remember that when people could actually go to a show and be near other human beings? Those were the days. Concept cars are always crazy, except Tesla haven't done a car on a rotating turntable on a stage at a motor show. They've put it on their website and asked you to put down thousands of dollars as a deposit. So they are suggesting that this is the car you will buy. You won't get this one. You'll get a round steering wheel, trust me. Let's talk a little bit about the storks. There aren't any. You want to indicate they've done it with buttons on the steering wheel, which is a little bit Ferrari-like, because there's a Ferrari with, it's actually got two by the two thumbs to go, but then you turn the wheel and then you forget which one's left and right. Terrible idea. They are solving a problem that doesn't exist. Nobody ever has gone, this car would be amazing if it wasn't for the indicator storks. So once again, tech companies out. It's not a Tesla thing. It's a tech company out of Silicon Valley thing, solving problems that don't need solving. So there's no storks. There's no gear changer stork. So you can't use a stork to change gear, and you can't use a stork to do the indicator or flash your lights to let someone out of a, you know, through a junction that you slowing down for them. It's all gone to buttons. So that'll all be put onto the central screen, and there are a few on the pictures, the renders, some force touch buttons where your thumbs would be on the yoke steering wheel, and that's where the turn signals are going to be. So your left and right indicator would be done by your thumb. Then on the right, I think there's the high beam, the horn, autopilot activate, the windscreen wipers, and a voice command button. Awful. Terrible idea. Storks are fine. Tesla say the vehicle uses autopilot sensors and intelligently automatically determines the intended drive mode and selects it. In other words, the car will think to itself, I bet he wants reverse. For example, if the front of the car is facing a garage wall, it'll know that you probably don't want to drive through the wall, so it'll pick reverse for you. Great, that's going to be fun in stop-start traffic. It eliminates one more step for drivers of the world's most intelligent cars, say Tesla. This was never a problem. No one's ever gone, you know what, I'd love not to be able to change gear in my car. So they'll move it to the central screen, which in Teslas, as Tesla owners know, is prone to crashing. Now, the car does it, when your screen crashes in a Tesla, the big screen in the middle, the car is drivable. But if you put the gear controls on the screen and the screen keeps crashing, as Teslas do, and you're stuck in traffic or in a Roadrunner cartoon and you're on a railroad crossing and the train is bearing down on you and the car is like, hang on a minute, I'm just restarting, you can't change gear. Again, solving a problem that didn't exist. Same goes for Model X, by the way. All the things I said about the S, the X applies to them, long range and Plaid. No Plaid Plus in the X. And also, if you go Plaid, it delivers April, not February. Let's talk Cybertruck. Elon Musk said, we've got the design fixed. We are getting to order the equipment soon, which is necessary to make the Cybertruck work. We're going to be using even bigger casting machines for the rear body of the Cybertruck because it's a bigger vehicle and you've got a long truck bed that's going to support a lot of load. We'll be using 8,000-ton casting presses for the rear body as opposed to the 6,000-ton for the Model Y. So those casting presses come from, is it called a Idra or Ibra? I've seen the logo on those big machines that cast the whole rear end of the Model Y. On the supplier's website, they haven't even got an 8,000-ton model that they can sell you, so they'll have to invent something there. And also, wasn't the Cybertruck going to be exoskeleton, like one single piece of exoskeleton? How does that work if Elon's now talking about the rear section? Anyway, maybe I misunderstood it at the reveal. The semi-truck. Tesla confirmed its intentions to start production this year. Finally, we're excited to ramp up the updated SNX to deliver our first Tesla semi by the end of the year. Elon Musk said that mass production of the semi will begin when the 4680 cells come out of Fremont, and the VP, Drew Baglino, who you would have seen at Tesla events before, said that the setup at Fremont was now set up for 10 gigawatts. Watt hours annual production in Fremont. So semi is now 2 years late. It was 2019 it was going to be coming out, and we're still waiting, but they say we're waiting for the cells are going to be coming from Fremont. They'll be on the road by the end of the year. That's understandable. Look, it's a fabulously hard problem to have to do trucking with enough range, enough charging speed. The fact that it took however many 4 years to develop and it's 2 years late, it can't really be held against them because, well, no one else is doing it for a start. So well done, Tesla, on that. Roadster, Elon says, will be part rocket. Make of it what you will. Okay, let's talk about the numbers. Normally, I would have started the podcast and got 10 minutes in and 20 minutes in and just been talking numbers. But you know what? They are what they are. I'll go through them. There's loads of financial nerds online that will take you through this in far more detail than I will. But they are in robust shape. There are 6 quarters in a row now in which Tesla say they reported a profit. They did $10.7 billion in revenue for the quarter. It's not bad, is it? Free cash flow is $1.9 billion in Q4. They made a Q4 profit of $270 million. I've seen the detractors online today say, well done for making $270 million in profit, but you sold $400 million in credits to other car makers. Now, they sell most of their ZEV or ZEV credits in the US to GM, and the European ones are all going to Fiat Chrysler. So Fiat Chrysler pooled with Tesla. It's a 1.2 billion euro deal, I think, to join in with Tesla and for Fiat Chrysler to avoid the fines from the EU regulators for exceeding CO2 levels and using, because all of Teslas, of course, have zero. And so offsetting them against Teslas. In the meantime, Fiat Chrysler have merged with Peugeot Citroën, the PSA group, who have a load of EVs, and it's a new company name. They've called themselves Stellantis, and they won't need that Tesla deal anymore. So I've seen people going, well, look, they didn't make a profit. Once again, they didn't make a profit if they can't sell these bits of paper to other car makers. As I always say when I hear that criticism, nothing stopping the other car makers making more EVs. Then they wouldn't have to buy them from Tesla. The cash on hand was 19, was it 20 billion, we'll call it. That's all right. That'd be pretty good, wouldn't it? Open up the old internet banking app on your mobile phone, check your balance, see if you can get through to the end of the month. If your direct debits have come out and it says 20 billion, that'll do. Annual growth was predicted to be at 50%, which is very conservative. No clear guidance, and that could be why the share price dropped by quite a few percent after this news and continues to drop as I record this, down 5% when I looked. And I think people haven't appreciated the lack of guidance as I've seen online. People saying, well, look, what are you going to do in 2021? Because it was 500,000 cars they made this year, and the guidance was 750, 800, and now there's no clear guidance on this year. Simply, they said, well, some years will be good and some will be bad. It's like the British weather. Some days it'll be sunny and other days it'll be rainy. We just don't know what it'll be when. For the full year of 2020, Tesla made 509,737 vehicles. Always takes a little while to wash up the final numbers, but 510,000 vehicles made. Average selling price dropped down by 11% because people aren't buying S's and X's. So the average selling price was down. But if you make up for that by increasing volume and your cheaper models, doesn't matter. If that's a good thing. Superchargers, Q4 was an amazing quarter. 383 new stations. And that's not chargers, that's stations. 3,800 new connectors, that's the actual stalls. And they're an average of 10 connectors per station. And that's in the last quarter alone. Amazing. For the energy business, for the first time, our total battery deployments was 3 gigawatt hours in a year, they say, 83% up on the previous year. Growth driven by the popularity of their Megapack, which is such a good name for anything. Megapack. Utility scale storage product. Our energy storage business continues to be supply constrained, they say. So lots of grids around the world would like their batteries to help support them. Can't get enough batteries. Self-driving subscription update on this, which is now overdue. We were told it was going to be by the end of the year. A year ago, still not got it. Self-driving is in a month or two, apparently. So we'll see on the next earnings call. It's the way of avoiding a $10,000 bill when you buy your car to get full self-driving, and rather you rent it month by month, like you would with Spotify. Also from Elon Musk, we've had some preliminary discussions about licensing autopilot to other OEMs, which doesn't mean anything. That could be, we've had some discussions and they all said no. Or we've had some discussions and they all love it. There was just no conclusion, so make of that what you will. But he said, oh, we've been talking to other people, as you would expect. The difficulty is all the other massive automakers have huge investments in their own software and in-car, just general sort of entertainment and how the cars work, and they don't need to go to Tesla. So it'd be a smaller company, I imagine, that would want to buy the tech in. Although some of those big car companies could do a lot worse than licensing Tesla's full self-driving technology. Well, that's your podcast for today. Shorter than we've done in the past. I've listened back before to the earnings call shows that we do, and they can be a bit wieldy, and they get a bit long sometimes, and I'd just like to pick out the highlights for you. What are your highlights from that? Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. I'd like to hear from you. What did you make of that? I enjoyed all the news about the new S and the X, and them pushing the limits and the boundaries. As I've said recently on the Inside EVs podcast a few weeks ago, and I'll mention it again this Friday, Tesla are an engineering company. And if you want the best EV in terms of the best electric vehicle, you should buy a Tesla. And if you want the best software, I think you should buy a Tesla. And arguably the best charging experience. If you want to be sitting in, if you're spending $140,000, you won't buy a Tesla if you want to get in it, shut that door, have a real thud, a real tank-like solid thud, and look around you and think, I spent my money well. You know, to look at incredible, you know, stitching and detail and quality of material. That is something that the Mercedes-Benz, the Daimlers, the Bentleys of the world do in a different league. It's not even dreamable by Tesla fans, because they've never been in these cars. These people that defend Tesla online, it's amazing. 140 grand buys you an incredible piece of luxury. The interior of these cars is like a 50 grand mid-range German car. It's good, it's not spectacular, but they cannot be beaten for how they're pushing EV technology. And I think companies like Lucid have pushed them to do that. So, my opinion. And I think more companies should push them. Porsche Taycan now selling the same for 80 grand is the base model, which is the base model Tesla Model S. And I think the more competition, it raises the tide. And it's a good thing because it gives people more choice. And also, I don't think Tesla would have brought these cars out so soon if it hadn't been for Lucid. That's my take. What's yours? I'd love to hear from you. Am I right? Am I wrong? Do you agree? You disagree? Always like to know what's on your mind now that I've shared my thoughts with you. Hey, question of the week. I'll read out your answers on Sunday. What do you want to do with your car from a mobile app or a web dashboard? So if you've got an app for your car, what do you want it to do? What are the basics? What are the nice-to-haves? What do you want to control? Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, you can listen to 975 previous shows in the archive, as we're now 15 away from show 1000. If you would, 25 I should say, and not doing very well at counting backwards in real time. If you want to check out the Patreon page, you can. It'd be amazing for you to have a look at that, but no pressure at all, because look, hey, we're all getting through this COVID year COVID 2 years, together. I feel bad even mentioning it, but if you can help put the show on the air, my Patreon is patreon.com/evnewsdaily. Phil Roberts of Electric Future is our premium partner. Brad Crosby is as well. Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, NationalCarCharging.com and AlohaCharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard Simons at RSEV.co.uk for buying and selling EVs here in the UK. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow. Oh yeah, do remember, you know, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.